Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high. Be lifted high, for your glory. Be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high, for your glory. Be lifted.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. It is a special day today. Hope you're having a great day. And this is Curtis coming at you with Christ Today. Sorry about last week. I wasn't able to be in the studio live because of the weather. But today's a different day. It's a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We, because I have a special guest with me, will rejoice and be glad in it. And I hope you're rejoicing too. I hope you're listening to us on the air and that you're blessed as a result of us being on the air speaking to you today. So anyways, my guest from the studio is Mark Holder. He's from Oroville, and we belong to a special program together, and I invited him to come in today and talk with you a little bit about his life. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Curtis. I really appreciate the invite, and just want to wish everybody listening a very wonderful Christmas holiday and many, many of God's blessings in your lives.
Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your upbringing, where you come from.
Kind of average, I guess, in a lot of ways. I don't have any, stories to tell of how I was saved out of dire circumstances or, you know, a crazy past or anything. I had just kind of an average upbringing, wonderful parents. Thank God for that. Raised in a very loving environment and had a good relationship with both of my parents until they both passed away in the last few years. And my grandmother probably was a huge influence in my life. She was a Christian and had been for many, many years and had been a minister within the Pentecostal church system for many years and had a church out in Palermo that she ministered in herself and also did some evangelistic work. She did a lot of work within the Native American community on reservations and such because she was a half Native American herself. And I almost came by it naturally. You know, I hadn't really been in church much until I got in high school, and some friends of mine invited me to a program that was going on, and God really spoke to me, and I gave my life to Him at the age of 14, and I'm 57 now, so that's been a few years ago.
Just yesterday, right?
Just yesterday. It seems like yesterday. And God is really taking me on a marvelous journey, and I can honestly say it's been an amazing, amazing journey and a wonderful time, and I really thank Him for that.
So, how have you ended up today where you're at today? How did you get to where you are now?
It's kind of a, I won't say a long story, but I'll kind of keep it short, but maybe an interesting one in that, you know, when I became a Christian in high school. I dove deeply into the Word of God, and we had a great youth group there, and we did an awful lot of Bible studies and events and things, had a great time for a number of years, and kind of during that period of time, I really felt like God wanted me involved in some sort of ministry, but I didn't really know what, and kind of the more that I felt that was the case, the more really scared I got, which is kind of weird, but I just really felt like I had a calling on my life, and I was afraid of the potential responsibility that went along with that. And I think, Curtis, kind of the problem there was I really was focused on myself. You know, I was looking at my own abilities and my own strength and power, and it scared me because I felt like, well, gosh, if God calls me into the ministry, I'm going to have all this responsibility for other people's souls, and I'm struggling with my own, I felt like, and rather than really focusing on God. So for a number of years, I actually kind of left the circle that I was in. I ran the other direction. I got involved in a lot of things I really shouldn't have, but, you know, I was on the run. And every once in a while, you know, I'd come back to God and say, okay, God, I'm ready. What do you got for me? And he'd basically say, I want you to be involved in ministry and share people, share me and what I can do for people with them. And I'd get scared again and run again, right? You know? And really, it was over a period of years that I got involved. And, you know, I tried to become an alcoholic during that time because I started drinking, and I really liked it, actually. But if it hadn't been for my mother and my Lord actually watching over me, I probably would have, that's probably where I would have been today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God continued to extend his grace to me. And it continued, even though I was on the run and I wasn't, you know, really following in the path that I should have at that time. Again, every once in a while I'd come back and God had, you know, impressed on my heart what he wanted me to do. And really kind of the final thing was about, after about 8 years of running, I came back to him again and I said, okay, God, I think I'm I'm done running and I'm ready. What do you want me to do? And really the irony there, I think, Curtis, is every time I came back, I was expecting a different answer, you know, not really understanding God.
And it was always going to be the same one, right?
It's always the same one. And I did that silly thing, you know, where you ask God, you know, what do you want me to do, Lord? And you throw open the Bible and you stick your finger in there and you see what the verse says. Well, the verse I landed on was Romans 10, 14 and 15. And basically, I'm seriously paraphrasing this, but he says, Paul says, you know, how can they call on the one that they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in him that they haven't heard about? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach if they haven't been sent? Mm. And when I read those words, I knew I was done running. And that's what I told God. I'm done. But the interesting thing, Curtis, is during those 8 years that I was running and I was doing crazy stuff and, you know, I was, you know, drinking and partying and all this kind of stuff, I never, during that period of time, felt condemnation. I never felt that God was condemning me in any way whatsoever. What I felt was his gentle tug, his reminder, his grace. And, you know, he would remind me, you know, he'd be... It's like, okay, really? You're going to go there after all I've done for you? You know, you're running from me, and you're living this life that you know isn't wrong. and he would remind me that is wrong. He would remind me of his love for him, and eventually, that's what brought me back to him. And I finally, like I said, finally said yes, and began to walk in the direction he wanted me to walk. And then that's where I've been for the last 40 years or so.
Mm. But if we look at it correctly, you're not a pastor. So what is your ministry?
That's very true. I've over the years, I've kind of done just about everything except that. I've been involved with, I've done a lot of preaching. Actually, kind of the extension of that story was when I finally said, okay, God, I'm ready to do what, you know, I'm ready to pursue this life that you want me to have. Where do you want me to go? About a year later, through a series of circumstances, I found myself homeless on the Oregon coast in the small town of Newport with a wife and 2-year-old son, going, okay, now what? You know, now what do you got for us? And really, it was an amazing experience, and that time is probably one of the fondest times in terms of memories of my entire life, because thankfully, we were only homeless for a couple of weeks, but God sent people into our lives that provided help. Some of them were Christians, some of them were not Christians, but they helped nonetheless in terms of finding work, places to live. And I got involved, actually stumbled, quote unquote, accidentally upon a small church up there and shared my story with them. And they basically took me in and said, well, we'd love you to come and minister here and we'll teach you what you need to know. And so over the next year to a year and a half, that's where I found myself. And I learned how to get up in front of people and speak, even though I was scared to death, and gradually got over that. I learned how to share the gospel with people in a group and individually. And so that's what I've done all my life is, you know, I've done some preaching, I've done some evangelizing. I did jail ministry for about 2 years. Music ministry probably more than anything over the years. And today, really, my ministry is more just on an individual basis, working, you know, with people as I come across them, you know, and that's what I love doing.
So would you say more or less that you're an evangelist? Is your focus on a soul or the souls? I mean, where do you see yourself? You said right now you see yourself kind of like a one-on-one. Is it reaching out to hurting people? Is it trying to preach? Where exactly do you see God leading you in the on one-on-ones with people and ministering to people?
Well, a lot of it, I think, is with, you know, as I meet people, you know, God has given me a tremendous amount of patience with people, and sometimes difficult people are the ones that he sends me to.
Isn't that the truth?
Or that he sends to me, you know, really. And sometimes people that are difficult, they're difficult because they're hurting. You know, they've had experiences in their lives. They've been rejected in some way, whether it's, you know, a parent or some other loved one or society in general, or perhaps they feel that it's God that's rejected them. And many times they just need someone that they can listen to. And my approach with people is never to come on real strong and, oh, you need God, and, oh, you're a sinner and all that kind of stuff. It's more about just actually, you know, giving a listening ear and hearing them out and finding out where they're at and why they're there. How did you get to this place? And then usually I'll find in the conversation, you know, when God sends people to you, he'll give you opportunities. He'll open doors for you to speak on his behalf.
That is so true.
And what we want to do, I think, is be sure that when we have that opportunity, we share his grace. You know, people don't need to hear that they're messed up. They don't need to hear that they're going to hell. I really honestly believe that we all kind of innately have that realization. We maybe can't put those words to it, but we know something's wrong. What we need is the answer. What we need to know about and hear about is the grace and love of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us and how he can help us and love us through this life.
That's true. One of the things about grace that we as Christians need to understand when it comes to grace is resting in what Christ has done, relying on him, not on ourselves, not on others, but relying on him. And Mark, maybe you could talk about relationship and also ministry in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, building relationships is so important. We live in a world today that I think a lot of people feel very disconnected. I love technology. I use technology all the time, but I feel that sometimes the drawback with a lot of the technology is that, you know, we have Facebook friends, but not real friends. You know, and occasionally you can turn those into real friends, but it's kind of difficult sometimes when they're across the country or across the world. And sometimes, you know, you don't know who that other person is and if they're even who they are claiming to be, because you can't see them. And so I think just having real, genuine, face-to-face friendships and relationships is super important today. We need that. We're social creatures, and we were created that way. God created us for fellowship, and, you know, we desire fellowship with him and with one another. And so, as far as sharing faith in the marketplace in the workplace, you know, I feel like there's a place for everything, and that you know, this is my own personal belief. Obviously, other people may believe a little differently, but I tend not to have a real upfront direct approach with people, particularly when I first meet them. What I like to do is get to know someone and give them an opportunity to get to know me. Mm-hmm. And what I find is that as we discover that we actually like and trust one another, as we get to know one another, is that people will ask. People will start to ask questions and stuff and ask you about your life and what you do for work and kind of what you, maybe some of what your belief systems are. And even if they don't come out right out and say that, as you get to know people, you might find out situations that are there going on in their life. And maybe they're faced with a situation. You might just simply ask them something as simple as, you know, I don't know what your beliefs are, but would you mind if I prayed with you about that? Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to be prayed with, they might be okay if you pray for them. You know, and whether or not you do that right then, you know, grab them by the hand and put your hand on their head or any of that kind of stuff, the reality is now they know, you know, and there's a door that's open and they haven't been made to feel pressured or like they've been attacked in some way. And oftentimes people will start asking questions. I mean, I've had situations in my life where, you know, like I said, it's always been my approach. Partly it's my personality. I'm not a real, you know, A-type personality or whatever. But I've had employers on at least two occasions that have pulled me off the job, taken me back into their office. Of course, I thought I was in trouble, right? And they took me back and started asking me questions concerning personal things that were going on in their lives because they knew I was a Christian, not because I was out preaching the gospel and hanging flyers up everywhere, but because I just, you know, they'd see me praying or talking with someone else or whatever, and or maybe little subtle comments I'd make, and they would ask me, this is going on in my life, would you pray for me? This is going on in my life, how do you think I should approach this? You know, I used to go to church, I haven't been in church in 20 years, but I believe in God, and what do you think God thinks about this? You know, and those things have come up. And so those are opportunities in my experience in the workplace to be able to go in and share with people. And in my business, there have been times when I've been sitting with couples and we're talking about various issues. And, you know, they might mention about a child being sick or something. And I'll ask them, is it okay if I pray with you guys about that? And you'll be surprised at how many times, even if they're not a quote unquote Christian, they don't go to church. Many times they're open to that. And it's just a way to open the door. And maybe that's all God has you there for. You know, sometimes we're there to plant, sometimes we're there to water, sometimes we're there to see the harvest. But, you know, we gotta kind of be willing to not push for the harvest if it's not really the right time. You know, that's my take on things.
Isn't that God's doing? Is that He reaches them? He uses us to reach them. And then as we do it with Him, that in time when He's ready, then He brings them to Him. So many of us think that we have to just go out there and bring them in. Yeah, we need to go out there and maybe share when we have opportunity to, but not make them feel forced or make them feel like they're being rushed into something maybe they're not ready for. Maybe God is beginning to deal with their hearts. Yeah, we know the Lord's coming. We know He's coming soon. We don't know when it could be, but we know that God sends the Holy Spirit to draw us into Him. And when it's time, they will come to know Him. And all we need to do is be alert, ready, opened, and look for that opportunity to just whatever God wants us to do, just be willing to do it. And Mark, that seems like something that you're open to and that you look for is an opportunity. And when God provides it, you're ready for it.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said, Curtis. And that's really true. Kind of my prayer is that on a daily basis is God, you know, just show me those open doors and help me to walk through them. Help me to have the courage, you know, because sometimes it's not always easy. You know, it's not always easy to open your mouth and say things when you feel like God is leading you in that direction. But again, we don't want to rely on our own strength. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I think it's an amazing thing that, you know, God could do it all on His own, but He chose to bring us into almost like a partnership with Him in reaching souls for Christ. And I think it's an amazing opportunity and a wonderful blessing to be able to do that.
We're going to take a break for a moment. All right, listeners, taking a break from the show for a moment. Well, you are listening to Christ Today with your host, Curtis Smith, and special guest, Mark Holder. And also, by the way, I hope that this show is being an encouragement and informing you of certain things in regards to our relationship today. And we want to lift up Christ in all that we say, all that we do. And I want to just say thank you for listening. If you're out there and you're listening, thank you. If you know someone who needs to hear this program, feel free to tell them about it. It's on Y104.5 FM and KKXX 930 AM. It's every Saturday from 11 to 12. And if you feel led to want to call me, share something with me, encourage me, if you want to support the program, whatever you want to do, feel free to contact the station at 894-7325 and say that you listened to Christ Today from 11 to 12. Anyways, I wanted to take some time and say that, you know, Christmas is approaching. And what are we doing for Christmas? I'm particularly not going out and buying a bunch of gifts. those gift days for me are over. It's better to give than it is to receive. And yeah, I said give. But there's other ways of giving. Give of your time. Give of your ability to listen, your ability to show care. You don't necessarily have to go out and spend that dollar. Some of you might be out there going, what am I going to do for Christmas? What am I going to do for Christmas? Bake something. Do a little extra project for someone. Do something that shows from your heart how much you care for someone. You know, too much commercialism going on around this holiday season. And, you know, coming from a financial look on the economy right now, who's got all that money to be buying all those gifts? Yeah, the stores need the money, but so do you. So why not look at other ways, maybe pray for other ideas that you could, you know, have this summer, this Christmas holiday to minister to those or show those that you love and you care about how much you love them and care for them without having to go out and spend a lot of money on Christmas gifts or Christmas packages. Anyways, that's just my thought on that. And we're going to get back to the show. So, Mark, being that I'm coming back from the commercial, why don't you, from your heart, share about a little bit about Christmas and what Christmas means to you?
Sure. I'd like to actually pick up on what you just said. I totally agree. I think that, you know, you'd asked me a little earlier about relationships, and I think that anytime, you know, sometimes my kids will ask me, oh, what should I get mom for birthday or Christmas or whatever? And, you know, they'll agonize over what to buy. And I'll tell them, you know, like you said, make something, you know, do a little artwork, do a little sculpture, do something like that that's from your heart. That means so much more to a person that cares about you and that you care about than just going out and buying some trinket or something like that. And plus it keeps you from going into debt. So that's just another little side issue there. But, you know, something that you can do from the heart, you know, it might be a little art project. It might be, you might write a song or a piece of poetry, whatever it is that you're good at, take your strength and use that to bless someone else with. And I think too, you know, things that we should be doing all the time year round, but especially during this time of year in terms of giving, there are so many places that we can volunteer our time. You know, there's the Jesus Center in town. There's rescue missions in various areas. I know there's a rescue mission in Oroville that does an awful lot of work with people in need. There's shelters. There's all kinds of places. Even your child's school has programs. There's people need volunteers and help all the time. So I think it's a great time to be able to kind of extend ourselves and give in some of those personal ways. And it means so much more than just writing a check.
Did you say writing a check?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah. Of course, it's okay to write a check to the show, right? So we can help support the sponsor.
I'll take anything you want to give.
That's right.
Why don't you share with us a few things that you've experienced of where God has really showed up and maybe showed forth his grace, or some experiences that you've had of where some powerful testimonies have occurred in your life. As you can see, we still have plenty of time, and we are wanting to reach as many people and share as much people as we can with people. We've got an hour, and we're pretty good with time.
Sure. Oh yeah. Well, we can just kind of chat and have a conversation. And kind of, you know, my prayer this morning was coming here was, and I appreciate you inviting me, but yeah, you know, I was kind of had some concerns about, well, Lord, what exactly do I have to offer? You know, like as I started off saying, I don't have this great, you know, great testimony of, you know, coming out of all this adversity and drugs and all these other kinds of things, you know, great healings in my life or anything like that. So what really do I have to offer? I'm basically, you know, I'm kind of an average person. I've had sort of an average, maybe hopefully above average life in some areas. But, you know, what really do I have to offer here? And so sometimes I think just in normal conversation, we can offer encouragement to people. And I think maybe that's what I have to offer, if nothing more. And really for myself, I just think that my life is a testimony of God's gentle leading throughout my entire life. You know, like I said, I haven't been super huge, you know, Road of Damascus type moments, but it's just been God's leading. I've seen numerous times where God has, you know, we were talking about finances and with Christmas and stuff a little while ago, There have been many times in my life that, you know, I've come up short in one way or another. But yet God has always found a way to meet the need. You know, sometimes checks have shown up in the mail that I had no idea why they were there. People have shown up on the doorstep with groceries and foods. Cars have been given to me when my car wasn't running. Just things like that, you know, and I don't think that that's out of the reach of anyone. You know, it's just God's promise to us is to take care of us on a day-to-day basis and give us those basic needs. Haven't won any lotteries, you know, haven't just had $1 million drop out of the sky or anything like that.
Not yet.
Not yet. But you know, that day-to-day thing, and I think gradually over time, I've learned to not panic in those situations. God has given me kind of a peace that when stuff happens, and thankfully they don't happen with the regularity, you know, that they did then. Still, stuff will, you know, come up occasionally, but, you know, there's not that panic and, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And, you know, just, you know, in fear, it's like, okay, God, here's another opportunity to rely on you. Here's another opportunity to look for your, you know, perhaps a way to minister to someone else here. Here's another opportunity to just simply trust you. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you want me to respond in this situation? And sometimes the best response is just to sit and wait and see what God would do. You know, other times the best response is to get up and move forward. But we have to be open and listen for that little voice, I think.
Which can be very hard for us to hear at times. And for me, I hear for other people because I operate in the prophetic. But it's hard for me to hear for myself at times. So when I see a need, how might I be able to help? And is God wanting me to necessarily help? Some of us think we have to take on everything we see in front of us. I believe in volunteering, Mark, like you said earlier, finding a way to volunteer. And I want to really give some recognition over the air if there's anybody listening involved with either Toastmasters or Lions Club. Lions Club especially, because Lions Club is full of people that volunteer in the community to do different projects. And I am a lion, and there's no lion about that. But I'm a lion, and I enjoy volunteering wherever I can, whenever I can. And we've been doing quite a few projects, along with the Salvation Army has been doing a few projects for the Christmas season. And I want to let my listeners know that if you're a lion out there or a Salvation Army person out there, my hat goes off to you. I say keep doing the good work, because you're the ones that God is using. And if you're not, God still wants to use you. But, you know, minister recently told me, don't look at God using you. Look at God being with you. You guys are together. And so I want to, with everything God's given me, I want to minister to encourage whoever I can out there and let you guys know that, you know, this is a season to be jolly. This is a season to show someone you care. Christmas is about caring. Christ came so he could show us his care by going to a cross and dying for us and giving his life. You know, you want a gift? Receive his life. You want a gift? Receive his love. You want a gift? Receive his liberty. Don't receive condemnation. Don't receive guilt or frustration or confusion or obligational preaching at you that you must do this, you must do that. You got to do more of this. You got to do more of that. Hey, Christ came to give life and give it abundantly. He whom the Son set free is free indeed. And that's my goal here, is to encourage you out there. And I hope that you find my guest and I doing that today, is that we're out here to encourage you out there, here and there. And I really want you guys to be blessed today. I really want you guys to know that somebody out here cares. And if you're going through a hard time and you need someone to talk to and you're feeling the blues, well, earlier this year I had a guest on by the name of Judy Thompson, and she's with The Growing Place, and you can feel free to give her a call. Her number is 592-263-22, and that is The Growing Place. Anyways, I want to say to you guys that we're going to keep talking and keep sharing our hearts with you. So, Mark, anything else that you're thinking about right now?
I kind of want to touch on what you just mentioned. I'm glad you brought up the topic of grace. I think it's such an incredibly important thing that to be reminded of, and that sometimes we tend to forget. You know, I know some folks that struggle on a daily basis with condemnation. You know, they love the Lord, and they're Christians, and they know about grace, and yet they still struggle. Anytime they do something that's, you know, maybe slightly off kilter, they condemn themselves and they feel like they're being condemned and that they just are so far away from God. And, you know, we need to remember that it is God's grace. You know, Jesus went to great lengths, and I believe that's really, that was the point of the Sermon on the Mount, to let us know that we cannot be saved by works. We just can't. You know, the Pharisees were going around and telling people, you know, hey, you know, if you go out and commit adultery, you're in sin. Jesus said, really? If you think about it, you're guilty. You know, he said, oh, if you go out and, you know, if you murder somebody, it's sin. Jesus said, if you think about harming your brother, you're guilty. You know, and we're told that if we offend in the slightest point of the law, we're guilty of all of it. So, you know, how in the world can any of us claim that we're getting by on faith, on works? We can't. So if we're going to walk in condemnation every time we mess up, we're going to be condemned all the time. And yet God said, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you, you know? I come to give you life and life more abundantly. And how can we have abundant life and joy if we're always feeling condemned? And so, you know, the definition of grace, and this probably isn't a textbook or dictionary definition, but one way I've heard it described is that, you know, grace is not getting what you deserve. You know, you deserve to be tossed in jail, but the judge says, I'm going to let you off the hook. That's grace, you know? And, so the whole concept of grace is that we're not getting what we deserve. Yeah, we deserve eternal damnation because we're sinners. But because of the price that Jesus paid, God extends his grace to us, and he does it constantly. And I've asked people, and I've heard this asked, and I've asked other people, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, how many of your sins were still future? And the answer is all of them, right? Every sin. So I'm not saved from the, you know, I'm not forgiven from the moment I get saved backwards.
Thank you for clarifying that. Listeners, listen to that.
You know, I'm saved from my every sin that I've ever committed, every sin that I'm going to commit. You know, the ones that I committed yesterday, today, and a week from Tuesday, I'm forgiven of all of that. And it's not because I'm great, it's because he's great. It's because the blood of Jesus is so powerful, and God's grace is so great that he's paid the entire price mm-hmm. for us. And it makes me think of that song, he paid a debt he did not owe. Mm-hmm. I owe a debt that I can't pay, you know. But God's grace is greater than all of that. It's greater than all of my sin. And I think if we focus on the sin and we let ourselves feel condemnation, then we're really kind of, in a sense, taking away from God's grace, and we're saying that it's not really enough. We're saying it's God's grace plus something else, and that's wrong. That's not scriptural, and that is going to lead us into a place of not being able to live in joy.
God's grace is rich and free, and I hear people out there saying, yes, you're saved, but you may barely make it into heaven. But you know what? That's God to determine that. God's not looking at our works. He's looking at our heart. He said that if he be in us and we be in him, and no matter how hard you try, it only takes believing to receive him in you. It only takes accepting what he did for you at the cross to receive him in you. He's the one that carries out the rest of the stuff in your life as long as you're open to what he wants to do. And when I mean open, you're open and you're willing and you listen to what he wants to do in you and you allow him to do it, because you try to do it. Paul said, that which I don't want to do, I do. We as humans, we blow it. We screw up. But one thing I like about you, Mark, is that, and I have to be careful how I say this over there, you coming from the upbringing, coming from the background, we're similar. We have a understanding of grace, which some people may have yet to grasp. And we want to be compassionate and loving to those out there that may see it differently than us. Is there a way maybe to, in love, sharing and encouraging them, just share with them what really grace is?
Well, I think part of the difficulty with this conversation, I've had this conversation with a number of people over the years, and sometimes some Christians, I think, have a little bit of a difficulty grasping it, and they think that, and this has even been stated to me, that, well, so what you're saying is that I can, once I'm saved, I can kind of do what I want. and God's going to forgive me. Well, what I think we have to be really careful is that when we're talking about grace and that, you know, all of our sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and forever, that doesn't give us a license to just turn around and go out and commit sin just because we believe that God has forgiven us and saved us. You know, kind of the idea is that there's some confusion. I believe it's in the book of James also about passage talks about faith without works is dead. And it's not saying that works saves us. It's saying that works are the proof of our faith. You know, once you've become a Christian, why wouldn't you want to live right? Why wouldn't you want to do the things that are going to please your Lord and Savior? Why wouldn't you want to walk in that path and avoid the things that displease God? Of course, we want to do that, but being human beings, as you said, we mess up. Mm-hmm. You know, we mess up. We spent a lot of years learning how to mess up. We inherited a sin nature. So messing up and sin is part of what we are, you know, until Jesus comes into our life and gives us that new nature. But there's still kind of those hangings on, you know, that mm-hmm. happen. And so what we have to realize is that we're not saying, oh, because of grace, you can do what you want to. We're saying because of grace, you don't have to be condemned when you mess up. Don't go out there and mess up on purpose, you know, but when you do mess up, just take it to God and tell him, thank you for having forgiven me already. Thank you for already shedding your blood for me so that even though I did that, even though I'm sorry, it's already forgiven and I praise you for it. That's where our joy can lie, is right there.
One of the things that I've been noticing lately is I'm reading a book, and if you guys like to read out there, it's called A Scandalous Freedom. I read it twice and said, forget it. I read it the third time, and it talks about how free we are to screw up, how free we are to be who God created us to be. And, you know, you may look at someone, you may see their behavior. You ain't got no right to say whether they're a believer or not. You do not know. Bible says, well, you can tell them by their fruits. You know what? There's a lot of good people out there that fake who they are. There's a lot of people out there that are trying their hardest to not be the person they used to be. Only God can change us, and only God has a right to look at our heart and say either he's for me or he's against me. And I think when we recognize that it's not our works, it's not our doings, is it, Mark, that proves who we are in Christ, it's what he did on the cross. Am I not correct?
I believe that's true, and I think, you know, when the word talks about knowing people by their fruits, I believe that's very true, but I think we're looking at patterns. You know, patterns. If you catch somebody, maybe their pattern is one of walking in faith, but you might catch them in a low moment, you know, and you might see them at a weak point in their life. And maybe they've had some stress or strain, or, you know, they've fallen away. Like I said, I was on the run for 8 years, you know. So sometimes there's things going on in people's lives, and for us to judge them and condemn them, is not the thing to do. What we want to do is come alongside them and hear them out if we can, and if they will talk to us, give them, and people will talk if they feel safe. But if they feel like they're going to be attacked and condemned, they're especially by a fellow believer, they're not going to want to talk. They're going to want to avoid. They're going to want to avoid you and not talk to you. And so I think it's really important to you know, have the compassion of Christ. For people, you know, Jesus, I mean, look at how people dealt with, or how Jesus dealt with people. It was the religious people that he was at odds with, but the quote unquote sinners, the people that were that he was ministering to, he went into their homes and he shared with them, and he loved them, and they knew that, and they were open with him. And if we're that way with people, then those people will be open with us, and they'll share with us, and that's where we will find the opportunities to share Christ. And it might be, we might be sharing with an unsaved person and sharing them how to know Jesus and what the benefits for them are in knowing Jesus and being saved. It might be sharing with someone who's fallen, who's struggling, who's having a hard time and just simply needs some encouragement. And maybe they need us to come alongside, hear what's going on in their life and pray with them and let them know that we still care and that we love them. We're not there to condemn them.
Question I want to ask you is, to you, and I'm speaking to my guest, and you listeners may think about this too. What is falling from grace to you?
To me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a good question. Because it almost sounds like an oxymoron to me in the sense that, you know, once we're the recipients of God's grace, I don't know that we can fall from God's grace in that sense. I'm not sure I have a really good answer for that particular question. But I think that we can fall in terms of our walk, in terms of our stewardship. You know, works falls into the purview of what our stewardship is all about. It doesn't really have to do with our salvation. It's, you know, it doesn't save us. It's the things that we do because we're saved and because we want to please God. And when we fall, we're falling out of that place where God, I think, maybe can bless us. You know, we haven't necessarily fallen out of salvation in that sense, but maybe we've fallen out of God's blessings. And I feel inadequate to answer that question. I haven't really given thought to it. Caught me off guard there, Curtis, but that's kind of my best shot at it there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and it's okay because I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to hear my intake of it. And
sure,
as my guest, you could give me a... Okay, I would say that falling from grace basically means going back under the law again, going back to what God saved us from. In our mind, we're thinking, well, I have to do this, I must do this, I must do this, I must do this, I must do this. And so we try to do all these works to prove that we're a believer, or to prove that we're Christ-like, or to prove that we're a Christian, instead of letting God do it in us. And we take our focus off of what He's done. It becomes more about our works, our efforts. And that, to me, is a falling from grace. Not necessarily I screwed up and I fell short of my walk with the Lord and I blew it, therefore I'm on my way to hell necessarily, but the factor that I'm trying to do this all myself instead of receiving and recognizing what Christ has already done for me.
I think that's a really good answer, actually. I wish I had thought about that. I think you're very right. Absolutely.
So another question I want to ask you. As believers, God's called us to be successful. And I'm going to share something with you, and then I want your input on it. But I've been reading this book called Scandalous Freedom. And on page 223 in Scandalous Freedom, there's something said here about success. And before we go there, Mark, why don't you share how you've been able to be successful, how you've been able to be successful in your walk with the Lord?
Oh, wow. It's been... I don't know, I think just as I'd mentioned earlier, it's just been a kind of a day-by-day reliance on Him. As I'm throwing my pen around here. Just kind of a day-by-day reliance on Him. I gave a talk to a group of business people yesterday on goal achievement, and I think it kind of fits. You know, if you have a goal every day of living for God, and you set your mind in motion, and you wake up and you pray that way, and you have an intention that you're going to look for those open doors and you're going to ask God to give you the strength to walk through those. If you can do that on a day-by-day basis, then you'll have success in Him. It doesn't mean you're going to make a bazillion dollars, you know, not success in that response. I don't know that we're all called to monetary success in that sense. Some are, some aren't, and hopefully those that are will bless others with what they've been given. But certainly success in Him is walking faithfully in Him and walking faithfully through those doors that He opens for us so we can share Him with others.
Steve Brown from Scandalous Freedom basically says, the first word I want to define is success. By success, I don't mean that you become the president of your company, get voted the most popular person in your class, become famous, make lots of money like Mark, or get asked by every service club in your town to give a talk titled Success and How I Attained It. His definition of success doesn't prelude that sort of thing, but it focuses on something else entirely. Becoming all God would have you to be. By success, he means the kind of life not held back by some kind of imagined restraint from a God who has decided that if anything good happens to you, he made a mistake. Isn't it pathetic that we as Christians feel like, you know what, how can I be successful? You know, good things can't happen to me. And yet Christ said that all things work together for his good. He loves you, so good things are going to happen in your life because in his eyes, you're already a success. When God looks at you, he sees you not as a mess. We see ourselves as a mess. He sees you as a masterpiece. And he says you're his workmanship. You're created in his image. So all good things that bring him glory, they belong to you. That's what success is about. It's not necessarily, oh, look at me. I got all these 5 cars and 4 houses. And it's not about that. It's about having success in the identity of who you are in Christ. Am I not correct, Mark?
Absolutely. I think a lot of us have kind of bought into the idea that, the enemy has fed us in one way or another that we're just not quite good enough. And I think that's where a lot of this reliance on the law comes from, is we're trying to be good enough. And what we need to realize is that, I'm not worthless, I'm priceless. I'm worth so much that the God of the universe is willing to shed his own blood and give his life and suffer for me. And when did he do that? He did that when I was still in sin. he did that before I ever said yes to him. He did that for those who will never say yes to him, those who will not make it into heaven. He still did that for them. And so every single person out there listening to this, you've got to, really, really take it into your spirit, into your being, that you're not worthless. You're absolutely priceless in the eyes of the God of the universe, the creator of all things, that he gave his own life for you so that you could live and be filled with joy and abundance.
If you were the only soul out there, he still would have died for you.
Right.
And he's out there searching for that one. It said that he says that it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to know the saving grace. And we look and go, why are we still here? It's because not everybody has been brought into the kingdom yet. And we are called to reach one another with our love, not look down on them, not judge them, not criticize them, not fault find them, not try to point them that you must get saved or you're going to hell, but let the love of God through us speak to their hearts, minister to them, especially during this Christmas season. Folks, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We are promised today. And our world is in an uproar right now. But I believe that this is one of the greatest seasons that we're in, is a season of grace at this moment where God can get a hold of his people and say, folks, quit focusing on me coming back. Go out there and prepare them for my return. I'm coming. I'm not telling you when. I'm coming. I'm not telling you what time. I'm coming, so just go and share my love while you still have the chance. And folks, that's what we're doing today. We're sharing our love with you, and you may not get a chance to share with everybody, but even if you can share with one person God's love, it's worth it. And so we've been having a good time, Mark. I'm really liking this conversation. I'm liking this time of sharing today. It's not really stressful behind the mic today as it has been in the past. But is there anything else on your heart or your mind that you would like to share with the audience? Oh, and one quick second. Audience, you are listening to Christ Today on KKXX 930 AM and Y 104.5 FM. And if there's anybody out there that knows me, hello, God bless you. And if there's not, hello, God bless you too. And Mark, anything else that you'd like to share when we have a few more minutes?
Well, yeah, I think, there was a time in my life early on in my Christian walk where I really didn't understand the whole idea of grace, and I was also concerned about works, and I was guilty of judging people and wasn't always approaching people in some of their situations in love, but more in just terms of trying to fix them, kind of thing. We try to fix one another and fix ourselves and fix the problems, and really God is the fixer. We need to step out of that position of trying to be the Holy Spirit and take over his position and just let him do his thing. And sometimes the easiest and best way to do that is for us to get out of the way. I think if we can just get ourselves out of the way and let God use us as a tool in his hand, then we'll see all kinds of crazy, awesome, wonderful, glorious things happening around us and through us. And once I kind of began to understand the whole idea of grace. And really what brought it around to me, Curtis, was just, carefully observing in the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, how Jesus dealt with those around him and how he dealt with those that were the sinners of his day. He always dealt with them in love. He always shared with them how he can improve and make their lives better.
Say that one more time.
Yeah, Jesus, when you look at it, you see how he walked among the people. he was meeting their needs. And these were people that were later gonna crucify him, you know. And I believe he knew that ahead of time. I believe he knew where he was headed in the fate that was, if we can use that term, that was awaiting him, and that the people would be responsible for that. But yet he still loved them, and he walked among them, and he did miracles in their midst. And why? Because he wanted them to see that his compassion and love was for them. He extended his grace to them, even though they were in sin at the time that he was doing that. And so we need to walk, I believe, in the same way in people in our lives. And sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, the hardest, most difficult people are the ones that are hurting the most. And if we can share with them the grace and love of Jesus Christ in a non-threatening, non-combative or confrontational way, then we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do his thing. You know, and the Holy Spirit, once he touches that heart, he's got it.
That's so true.
I tried to run for 8 years and I couldn't do it. He kept drawing me back, And I'm so glad that he did.
You might be able to run, but you won't get too far ahead of, you won't get too far away from God. He's always able to outsmart you and outrun you.
You can run, but you can't hide.
But he won't force you. He's not a forceful God. He'll let you go your own way. But when you come to him and you recognize what he's done for you, it's just like the prodigal of the lost son. You know, we all get taught about how it's about forgiveness. No, it's about acceptance and approval. The son didn't have to get back to the father and ask him for forgiveness. The dad ran after him and caught up with him. And what did he do? I believe he brought everyone with him and said, here, give my son what's due him. Even though he'd already given it to him. And they gave him a fatted calf and they gave him a new robe. They gave him a new identity. And we in Christ have a new identity. Well, folks, I'm going to stop for a quick second. And I'm going to say that if you guys want to receive a gift or something free from my show today, if you call 894-7325 and if you be the third caller, 894-7325, you can win a $10 gift certificate from Annie's Country Cafe in Paradise. Annie's Country Cafe, they're located at 5522 Skyway. And if you'll give them a try, they've got great service and great food. So this is what you can win today if you'd like to call in. Well, Mark, I know there's something else that you would probably have on your heart or your mind real quick.
Well, I would just like to encourage anybody that's listening out there that, you know, if there's some part of you that's running or avoiding or in some way not submitting and committing fully to God, this would be a great day for you to stop running. You know, you, as Curtis said, you can run, but you can't hide. He's always going to be there. He's always going to draw you to him. He has a ministry for your life. He has a purpose for you. And I think a lot of times people feel despair and discouragement, depression even, because they don't feel their life has any purpose. But when you give your life to Jesus, he has purpose for you. He has purpose before you do that. But when you give your life to him, now you have not only your own ability and your own power and your own strength, you have his. You have all the resources of God behind you to fulfill his mission for you and fulfill his purpose in your life. And, you know, as I said earlier, we're social creatures. We thrive on being with people and we thrive on helping people. It's in our nature to want to help people. And if you're a Christian, it's really, really in your nature to help people and to show compassion and to do those things. And so God will give you the strength and the ability to do that very thing. And sometimes it might be someone in your family. It might be someone down the street. It might be, volunteering and helping homeless people. But there's a purpose for you somewhere. It doesn't have to be standing in the pulpit and preaching the gospel every week.
Exactly.
It can, you know, it might be a song in your heart that you share on the bus. I heard somebody was telling me the school bus on the way to Butte College and on the way back to Chico, there's somebody that occasionally sings and how much it blesses them to hear this person singing.
That's awesome.
You know, and it can be the simplest of things, but when God is in it, it's the greatest of things, and we can really be a blessing to other people. I'd encourage everyone just to say yes to Jesus.
You know, one thing I want to share too is Mark, you said several times purpose, but I think the greatest purpose is recognizing that relationship that he wants with us, that one-on-one love, bond, intimacy that he wants with us, that I'm still trying to reach at in my personal spiritual walk. You know, for a long time I've struggled with reading the Bible, and the last couple of days I've been reading it, and I've just been sitting there going, God, what are you wanting to speak to me? What are you wanting to show me? One of the things I'm really encouraged about, and this guy may not be listening, and he may, I don't know if he is or not, but he shared a testimony of how last year he was an atheist, and God finally got a hold of his heart, and he had such a wonderful vision, and I can't even go into his testimony. But anyways, just this last couple of weeks, he was hurting for finances. He was really hurting for money. Thought he had $10 in the bank, and he needed a haircut. So he went to go get the money out, 10 bucks, right? And they're wondering what they're going to do and everything, and puts the card in, and $10 doesn't come out. Looks at it and goes, there's a mistake here. Puts it back in, $10 doesn't come out. $10,000. $10,000. That is the kind of God we serve. He blessed this man. This man didn't have any idea it was going to happen. It came from some money that he was looking forward to, but it was a promise to come, not yet, but ways down the line. But it came right when he needed it. And that's just like our God. He comes right when we need him. He doesn't really want us to need him. He wants us to want him. And, you know, folks, I'm glad you've turned in today. I'm glad you've listened. I really want to say to you that, you know, I feel to tell you to be encouraged during this Christmas holiday season. Really be encouraged and know that he cares for you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you and mad in love with you. Even though you never choose him, he's chosen you. So, Mark, let's go ahead and pray out this show. And I'm glad that you came on and you were with us this morning. So why don't you go ahead and pray out this show?
You bet. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for inviting me, Curtis. This is a time of year that's a great joy for a lot of people, but we know statistically for an awful lot of people, it's a very sad and depressing time of year for whatever reason. You know, they're reminded of people that they've lost or whatever. And so I just want to encourage everyone to let the Lord fill those spaces in your life that maybe are lacking and empty. And he'll certainly do it. He wants to fill you with abundance and joy. God, we just thank you and praise you so very much for your sacrifice for us, for your grace, for your blood that was shed. We thank you that you love us even in our mess, even in our bad times and our down times. Help, God, help us to not condemn ourselves, because you certainly don't. And you just love us with all your heart. And I just pray for those that might be out there, Lord, that maybe you're hesitating or in some way running from you, that they will stop running, that they'll stop hesitating, that they'll say yes to Jesus. Those that maybe realize that they're not Christians, they're not saved, but they know that they should be, help them to stop right now and to say yes to Jesus. And God, I just pray for those that might be hurting today. This is a great time. This is a great season of joy. And yet there are many that are hurting out there. They've lost loved ones, and this is a time of year that reminds them of that. Or they don't have anyone. They have no family, and they're depressed, and they're feeling sad and alone because everyone else is, all the joy and festivities and celebrations going on around them, and they're not partaking in that. I just pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you will reach out to them and speak to them and share your love with them. You will send someone or several someones to come alongside them and to lift them up and to demonstrate the love of Jesus in their lives. God, we just thank you for this wonderful day and just ask that everyone listening, Lord, will have an amazing, wonderful day filled with the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, listeners, we will talk to you again next week, and have a Merry Christmas, and God bless you all.
Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you were. Long time ago, it seems, you were born. Save us all, to take our sin.